Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. On Monday, the Boston City Council made a little history. It unanimously elected its new president, Michelle Wu, the first Asian American and first woman of color to lead the Boston City Council, and she joins us now in the studio. Michelle Wu, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks, Meghna.
And congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much.
So, listeners, if you want to talk to Boston's newest City Council president, you have a question for Michelle Wu, give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. We'll be spending the rest of the hour with Michelle Wu and would love to hear from you. So first of all, Michelle, I want to play a little bit from your first speech that you gave as City Council President when you outlined some of the challenges facing the city. So here's a little bit of what you said.
In too many parts of our city, we see skyrocketing housing costs, nightly gunshots, devastating opioid addiction, insufficient mental health supports, imbalanced schools, and stagnant wages that haven't kept pace with the cost of supporting a family.
So a pretty serious list of challenges facing Boston. Just briefly tell me, why is it that you wanted to highlight these aspects of what the city faces as you take up your presidency?
I see our role on the Boston City Council as being there for residents in every way that we can. And yes, that is in the traditional ways that you think of your city councilor filling the potholes, fixing the streetlight, talking about school registration. But more than ever, city government now is the level of government that is stepping up to deal with big, big issues like income inequality, like criminal justice reform. So in outlining some of the challenges that face Boston's families, you know, I'm saying we are going to tackle these challenges. The 13 of us on the city council are ready to go. We're going to make a difference. And the next 2 years, we'll see a lot of accomplishments come out of the city council.
Okay. So I want to talk with you in a minute about some of your ideas to tackle these very big picture problems for Boston. But we can't ignore the fact that, I and many other journalists have been noting that your presidency is somewhat historic for the Boston city councilors, the first woman of color to take the lead at city council and the first Asian American. So just tell me, what does that mean to you?
You know, I think I'm still trying to figure that out a little bit. It's still sinking in. I am so aware that there are many people who came before me and opened doors that would otherwise make it impossible for me to be here. So I think often about the fact that Sam Yoon was the first Asian American to run for city council in Boston just not too many years ago. And Ayanna Pressley was the first woman of color to be elected ever to the Boston City Council not too many years ago. I think a more effective government needs that diversity of experience, needs to be reflective of residents. And we still have a long way to go across our whole country in terms of gender, background, in terms of really matching the leadership with residents. For me personally, I'm focused on supporting my colleagues, supporting the work of the council, and getting things done.
Well, there has been a lot of talk about, I mean, you mentioned Ayanna Pressley and Sam Yoon before her, and you and several other members of the council. There's been a lot of talk about how the city council is beginning to reflect the changing nature of Boston itself. And so there's a lot of excitement about that. People are talking about a certain freshness to that, a certain sense that reflecting the diversity is going to reflect a new Boston or the new Boston as we're seeing the city become. I mean, do you agree with that?
I tend to challenge the notions of old versus new Boston. When you're out there on the campaign trail or out visiting neighborhood associations across the city, the lines, stereotypes are very quickly shattered in terms of which groups of people stand for what sorts of changes. And every single one of my colleagues, I've had the chance to sit down with them over the last few weeks several times, and each one of my colleagues has some big ideas for what they want to accomplish in the next term, ranging from revitalizing our harbor and infusing life into our park system, to reforming our criminal justice system and really tackling reentry and making sure that residents who are formerly incarcerated are able to integrate back into the community quickly. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on. Everyone brings a different perspective, and it's that diversity of experience collectively that makes for a stronger government.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about the sort of life experience that you had before becoming president of the city council or even becoming a councillor. Because, you know, you are the child of immigrants, the oldest of four, right?
Yes.
Four. Your parents are originally from Taiwan. You majored in econ at Harvard, so not shabby, I have to say. But at what point in time did the politics bug really bite you?
You know, I had no conception of politics even as I graduated from college and entered the working world. When I was younger, we never discussed politics or government at the dinner table. It was always about whether we finished our homework and got to our activities on time or working hard. And I think for my parents, who were themselves children of immigrants, because my grandparents had come from mainland China over to Taiwan in the midst of civil war over there, politics represented something dangerous, scary, or at the very least uncertain and unstable. So I never thought about it growing up. And it really wasn't until I found myself through a number of family circumstances at the age of 22, taking care of two younger sisters, helping a mother struggling with sudden mental illness that had come on pretty suddenly, and running a family business. All of a sudden, then, government seemed to be everywhere that I looked.
Well, so tell me more about that, because like you said, I mean, those are three major challenges or issues or real life events that I think a lot of people can relate to, like having to deal with services that are either available or not for example, seeking help with mental illness or being a small business owner, because you started a tea shop, is that right?
Yes, in Chicago.
And then, of course, helping to look after other family members. So, like, what challenges did you see in terms of being a citizen trying to access city services? But this wasn't in Boston, I should be clarified.
Yeah,
right?
My parents had immigrated from Taiwan to Chicago,
right.
So I grew up there. After I graduated, stuck around in Boston, but when my mom got sick, went back to stabilize the family, eventually brought everyone back over here. But at that point, we were still in Chicago, and it was, as you said, everything from trying to get my mom adequate and culturally appropriate health care, to registering my sisters for the schools that were the best fit for them, to getting the business open. And it often seemed like government was there just to set up hoops for us. And, you know, I didn't know much about city government or my city councilor at that time. And so I would march into City Hall expecting that I could fill out my paperwork for the business and go back and then open up. And it was nothing like that. It was delay after delay. And every day in my role now, I think about how we should change the system so that people who want to help their community, help their family, are able to do that through government and with government instead of doing it despite government hurdles.
So this makes me wonder. I mean, I can hear and feel your passion for community and affecting positive change there. But with all due respect, why run for city council then? Because, I mean, you know as well as anybody, the Boston City Council's actual power in terms of legislating, changing laws, et cetera, is basically nil. It's pretty low.
We are in certainly there are other levels of government have much more sweeping authority. And we are in a strong mayor system where the agencies and the departments really do set the tone for services. However, city government is the most nimble and I think most effective level of government today. We see Washington, D.C. and the paralysis that's happening there because of hyper-partisanship and finger-pointing and gamesmanship. We can't afford that kind of gridlock at the city level. And so when we're able to take even a small step that sets the tone and draws attention to an issue, it can be powerful and it can ripple out. So I like to think of the example of paid parental leave, mm-hmm. which we passed unanimously last term on the Boston City Council and worked very closely with Mayor Walsh and his administration to implement. At the city level, the council's ordinance could only reach not even all city workers, but a smaller number of workers. But in passing what we could immediately, we set the tone for every future contract negotiation that happened, because ordinance couldn't override state law, so union contracts still stood. But now there's a new default for what's acceptable for paid parental leave. And after we did it in Boston and Mayor Walsh signed it into law, then we saw our state partners start to do it as well. The Attorney General offering it for her employees, our Treasurer offering it for her employees, and Governor Baker discussing it as well.
Okay, so setting a tone, setting an example. I might start. Maybe I'm going to be persuaded by that argument. Listeners, we're talking with Michelle Wu. She is the newly elected president of the Boston City Council. She's the first woman of color to lead the city council. If you have a question for her, call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. President Wu, let me call you that because that is your title. If I can, let's dive into some of the major issues that we play that tape at the top of the segment that you outline you think are facing Boston, and specifically what the city council could do to help the city on these issues. Income inequality, for example. I mean, there's so much evidence that shows that Boston is becoming a city of the very wealthy and the not so wealthy. It's tough for the middle class here right now. What can the city council do?
So the issues that fundamentally drive income inequality are related to supports for working families. So taking up a measure like paid parental leave, thinking about other ways that we are allowing people from all different backgrounds to stay in the workforce, especially women, and getting at the wage gap there. And then on the actual wages side, I believe, and I think many of my colleagues believe, that people shouldn't have to work two and three jobs to make ends meet. And as we hear about all the costs that are rising, housing costs, housing affordability, a major crisis across the city, cost of living going up, but we need to make sure that we are paying people enough too. And so really exploring ways that we are supporting efforts to have a livable wage, thinking about the city's the money that the city does invest in contracts, and how can we open up the funding that and as a city government we are putting towards different businesses and encourage local investments and investments for businesses owned by women and people of color.
Okay. So sort of dovetailing with that, there's the issue of housing, right? Because, you know, for people who do live in Boston, many of them are spending inordinate amounts of their income on housing, whether it be rent or their mortgages. Now, as you well know, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, has the Boston 2030 plan. They want to create 53,000 new housing units overall by 2030. And he said today that the city has permitted the largest number of affordable housing units in city records. They did 1,000 such units last year. How can the city council further those efforts?
There are a number of levels where through which the city council is affecting housing policy. One is in conversations with the administration about the most macro rules that govern the process, zoning and what height and what density are allowed in different places. Should we be considering density bonuses? Should we be rewriting the rules so that accessory dwelling units could be allowed? And then there's the kind of micro level of specific parcels of land. Are we doing everything we can with city-owned parcels or publicly-owned parcels to proactively insert affordable housing before a neighborhood is facing crisis and displacement and gentrification? So it's the entire spectrum, and we've been working hand-in-hand with Mayor Walsh and administration Chief Sheila Dillon, who's incredible, and really focused on how do we make sure that all of this economic growth coming to Boston, all the cranes that we see, still are connecting back to growth and lifting everyone up in the neighborhoods, particularly longtime residents.
Okay. So related to housing, at the end of last year, we on Radio Boston did a long series on advocates who are calling for a just cause eviction law in the city of Boston, which would basically make it harder for larger landlords to evict at will tenants in Boston simply by virtue of raising the rent a lot. At the time that we ran this series at the end of last year, the city council did not take up this proposal. It was still seeking a councilor to sponsor it. Is there a sponsor for a just cause eviction ordinance? in the council right now?
So we have only had one meeting so far, which was this past Monday, and there was very little formal business. So we'll pick up our sort of regular meetings next Wednesday. So far, it has not been filed with the council. I believe the advocates have now dropped off their proposal to most of the council, if not all of the council offices. We do have two new members who are still just getting connected to internet and getting ready, ramped up and ready to go. But I know that housing is a priority for each and every one of my colleagues. Everyone is taking a serious look at just cause eviction and other tools to stem the tide of displacement. I know that there's a great deal of interest. We'll be looking at the proposal very carefully.
Do you support the idea?
So I've read through the legislation once. I need to go back through it a couple more times. I support the spirit of it. I think we do need, as a city, need to do all we can to prevent displacement and to keep housing affordable as much as possible. However, I have some questions with the current proposal. I want to make sure that we are protecting small landlords who are also residents and need and want to be investing in their properties and need to have this income to be able to properly maintain their own properties. I have some questions on where does the right balance fall as we are drawing this line between keeping rents stable so that neighborhoods can remain stable, but also allowing people to keep investing in their rental properties as well.
Okay, so let me switch gears here completely, because you are also a mother as well, and now you're city council president. So I'm just wondering, and this is a question that I ask every parent who comes through here, but how are you balancing it all? Because there are all those pictures out there of you with your infant son in city council meeting trying to get work done while, holding him over your shoulder, keeping him asleep.
It's a lot to juggle. And he is now almost 13 months old, and the days of him being able to fall asleep in a meeting are over.
Hey, I've got a 14-month-old. Yeah. I know.
So
they walk away at high speed.
Exactly. I am so lucky and so grateful that we have on-site childcare at City Hall. So City Hall childcare has now been around for 27 years, and it's open to city employees. So Blaze will come with me to work in the morning. He gets dropped off and I can go down and see him at lunch, and then I can pick him up at the end of the day, or if he's sick or if something happens, I can run down there just like all of the other moms and dads that have kids in City Hall on the fourth floor. And it's just such a contributes so much to peace of mind. It makes the juggling just a little bit easier. My husband does so much as well. This morning, for example, I had an early morning meeting, and so he dropped off the baby on the way to work, stopped at City Hall, dropped him off at daycare, and then went on to his job. And it's a lot of planning and coordination, but it's something that families all across the city are struggling with. And I am always proud to be an example of how messy life is, right? So you'll never see me saying that things are easy or going extremely smoothly, because it's a lot to handle. And we as a society need to do more to support working families.
Mm-hmm. So I want to read something that Yvonne Abraham wrote about you last year. And she's, of course, columnist for The Globe. And the quote is, Wu probably won't want to read this. She is a very careful politician, a trait I'd like to see leavened if she succeeds in this race. So now one could say, as city council president, things could go two ways. That yes, maybe you'd find this leadership position allows you to be emboldened in your agenda, or maybe leadership makes people even more cautious. What do you think?
I don't see this leadership role as really about me at all. I am grateful to my colleagues for their support and their trust, but the vision that I spoke with each one of them about was really that I thought the next city council president, their main job needed to be lifting up the council and really highlighting what we do as a group week in and week out. People don't often have the rosiest image of governmental bodies and legislative bodies these days. And again, city government is so vital in today's world. We do everything from the bread and butter of keeping our streets clean and safe all the way up to these big macro even global issues like environmental sustainability we're trying to take steps on at the city level. So I see my job as showcasing what the council is doing, focusing on transparency so that everybody who wants to participate in government can jump in and do so, follow where each docket is, get involved, come to the hearings, register your opinion. That's how we have a stronger government, is that partnership with the public.
Okay, so last question. Your Twitter handle, Woo Train? We've been wanting to know. Can you tell us the genesis of the Woo Train?
Well, Woo Train is a childhood nickname.
Okay.
The real challenge for me is that I don't have a middle name, and Michelle Woo is such a common name that I have never been able to get, you know, michellewoo@gmail.com or anything like that. I don't have a middle name because my Chinese name doesn't include a middle name. It's family history, but just kept the nickname, and that's who I am. Remains to this day.
Well, it looks like the Boston City Council itself has gotten on the Woo train, if I could say that. Michelle Woo, she's the newly elected president of the Boston City Council, the first woman of color to hold that position. Michelle Woo, it was a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much, and we look forward to talking with you a lot over the
Thanks
coming year.
Me.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.